5. The essential core here, I've spoken words, but I'll try to express it. Well, you've probably been watching me do it. It's the soul's capacity to be illuminated and to illuminate, to shed light, to clarify. It's the quality of illumination and clarity, to be clear, to make things clear. Now, clear doesn't just mean like clear communication. It doesn't mean just like using words clearly, although that's a symptom. When you're clear, you feel clear. You feel more transparent, and the world becomes more transparent. It's like the light in things shows forth more. The colors are brighter. Sounds are more vivid. You notice the littlest things. It's like you're more awake to everything, but it's this quality of clarifying, illuminating. And that illumination is exactly the same as what we call recognition. Whenever you have an aha, it's not thinking exactly. It's a recognition of truth, right? You go, whoa, that feeling. And it fills your whole body. It's not just an interesting thought. Your whole body is illuminated by, whoa, I get it. Anybody never have that in their life? We all know what that is. If you're a 5, you live for that. Just please, lightning, keep striking me. Yeah? And that can be in any area. The stereotype of 5s is they're always scientific. But you, this could happen in how you're dealing with your kids. What's the right thing to do to help me with my kids? It could happen in an artistic endeavor. But it's that seeking to be in line with that penetrating illumination that cuts through and gets to the real essence and truth of something. Thank God we got that. Another grace here at work. And everybody has access to this. But if you're a 5, this is your specialty. There's one other side of it that I don't always talk about, but I feel I can here. Since we're talking about paradox and light and dark, there is the illuminating part, which is like this flash of brightness and illumination. It's literally bright, right? Some of us have that inner sight. We see it as like brightness, like lightning flashes. But the other side of it is what I call black light. Now, that could sound a little spooky, but what it actually is, I call it God's bug zapper. And if you're paying attention to your consciousness in the way I was talking about earlier, we definitely need some bug zapping. But we don't have to do it. That's the good news. It's not like I have to get rid of all this stuff. If you're present, just like there's these illuminations of what's true and real, there's this other force that comes out that just clears out the delusions and the nonsense and our false beliefs and ideas. The part of us that sees how full of crap we've been, but without judging it. You're sitting there thinking some idiotic thought and you're present, suddenly goes, it's gone. You're believing some horrible old story and you get present, you breathe, and suddenly goes, it just falls away. It melts, it dissolves. Hallelujah. The only problem is our ego is propped up on all that stuff. So we might be a little afraid of it. And yet, when it actually happens, we're tremendously relieved. Like, oh, thank God that happened. I actually believed that. I actually thought that. So the illumination and the process of the unfolding of truth and reality that's here at work is both the illumination of what is true and real and the kind of bug zapping of our delusions. And they're both a grace. You can't do anything to produce them except be present and let that lightning strike. Does this make sense? Hey, who are the 5s in the house, huh? Is this making sense what I'm saying? It's like this is what we live for, these moments. You might, if you're just in your personality as a 5, you might have had that moment that happened in 1968, and you spend the next 10 years trying to understand what that moment was, right? Rather than repeat the experiment in a way, and whatever it was that made me receptive to that wisdom. What happens in 5s is, of course, the loss of presence means the loss of that. The ability to know, recognize reality from delusion. So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil? Do you think you can tell? Good old Roger Waters wrote then Pink Floyd many years ago. It's the 5 dilemma, right? Do you think you can tell? Well, the answer, once you lose your connection with that, is no, I can't. It's terrifying. Not knowing what reality is, how to recognize anything, what's safe, what's dangerous, what hell, I'm lost. So the question here is, what do I trust? The 5 in this freakout turns to the one thing that I think will save me, which is my mind. What do I trust? The old noodle. And that old noodle is going to figure this all out. The only problem is this old noodle on this level is disconnected from the knowing. So can't produce that illumination that I want, right? No matter how much stuff I learn, memorize, cogitate on, I don't feel like I know, just like all the other types, you see? So the passion here, which is a heart state, we need to talk about that part, is avarice. And avarice as a five, I can tell you, there's not a lot of people in the Enneagram world that seem to understand it. Avarice, and first of all, we look at the behavior of avarice rather than the direct experience of it. Psychologists would recognize avarice as an old-fashioned way of talking about the schizoid state, where we just give up and retreat and disconnect from our feelings and kinesthetic intelligence. It's like, I'm not dissociative. I'm not out and not paying attention. I'm paying a lot of attention, but only with my mind. Everything else switched it off. So avarice, the core of avarice is what I call the contracted heart. It's like my heart shrivels into a little raisin. It's like when the water retreats into the little gullies and cracks in the rocks. It's like my love, my contact, my heartfulness just goes into these little hidden places in myself. And what I'm avaricious about is not money. And despite Enneagram theories to the contrary, I would say unless the five is pretty down those levels, not knowledge. I know fives who won't talk, do anything or connect with people, but you ask them, how can I fix that computer network in my office? Well, let me tell you, right? That's the one thing I have in abundance, so I'll share that aplenty. Avariciousness is a hoarding of the self, and particularly of the heart. I think sometimes a gesture speaks 1,000 words. The posture of avarice is this: shriveled up, terrified, curled up inside myself, and I'm not coming out. That's avarice. I won't make contact. Yet, here's your dilemma, fives. There is no real knowing illumination without contact. Because while we might fantasize, it's the other people out there are the problem. I don't want to make contact with them. That's not who I've broken contact with. Broken contact with me. I've broken contact with my soul, the core of me. And unless I come back into that, my knowing will be fleeting and limited. Little glimpses with a lot of footnotes. Does it make sense? Like all the types, what we need to do is what scares us the most. Got to come out and make contact. And in that contact, what's the payoff? Oh, when you touch the living moment reveals itself, reveals its nature. And this knowingness that I love is restored to its proper place. Is this clear? There's many other things I could say, but that's the nub of it. And as a five takes that risk, comes out of that schizoid hiding place, starts to, however sloppily and tentatively, make that contact, it starts to restore the knowing and it gives birth to the virtue of the five, which was given by Chazo as detachment. And I think that's a bit of a misnomer. Again, the fives do detachment just fine when they're completely in their fixation, right? We do detachment just fine. I prefer the term, as does my friend Sindra Maitri, non-attachment. What's the difference? Detachment is cutting off. That's the schizoid thing itself. Non-attachment, when you are in touch with this eternity of our consciousness, of the divine presence, when it's here illuminating things for you, you become profoundly aware of how fleeting everything is. It's very Buddhist. Transience is the way the Buddhists talk about it. You see that everyone you behold is here like a flicker, like a little flash. Now, on an ego level, without presence, that might lead us to, well, heck, this is too much trouble, too much hurt. I'm going to contract and stay schizoid and just go like that. But with presence, that's very recognition brings out compassion, kindness, and love. All seeing the fleetingness of human beings, the beautiful delicacy of the world and people, all that clarity comes in service to their recognition of the truth too, and to their holding. Like the great quote from the Buddha I liked, knowing that life is as brief as a star at dawn, a flash of lightning, how can you quarrel? It's that. And that non-attachment actually becomes a liberation of the heart. You're not clinging to anything nor avoiding anything. You're holding the world just as it is and in love with it. That's non-attachment. It's a clean-heartedness.